And so, 7, kind of, this is the last of the negative stuff. don't put this guy over this type of person and all that. So then it gets positive, and that's good. And there's not much to say on this one. These things seem so self-explanatory. So I may give you kind of an overview of. But I think you understand this too. But the idea and the phrase we're looking at is not greedy. Just don't be greedy and don't have somebody who's greedy in an oversight position, which I think you get that. The general sense, and we'll look at the verse it says in verse 7, a bishop must be blameless, the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. Lucre, you know, lucrative, all that word comes from that. So this is the last part of the knots, you know, not this way, not that way, not this way, not that way. So not greedy. That's how we'll sum it up. And I got three points about this because you understand, you know, greedy and somebody who's sort of after the money, and Judas was like this. Apparently that kind of came out at the end, though. Maybe it could have been seen earlier, was seen earlier by the Lord, but the disciples didn't see that. But he would fall into this classification, as would generally most of the religious leaders in Jesus' day would fall under this classification. They were essentially doing what they were doing because it profited them. Paul would say as much. He profited tremendously out of the Jews' religion. And so you get the idea, you know, don't put somebody greedy in oversight, because the new covenant requires different leadership. And I'll talk just a little bit about that. But let's pray and just deal with this pretty, there's not a whole lot of notes on this, but we'll deal with not given to filthy lucre. Not given to filthy lucre. Father, pray you'd help us this evening as we go over this part of this verse and make some applications throughout history, Jewish history, and even the current, you know, current Christianity as it is. But I pray that you'd help us understand what we're reading. A lot of this stuff is just so self-explanatory. I think I spend a lot of time saying the same things over and over, but I pray we're not doing that tonight, and we can actually learn what we need to learn about some of this and why it's advantageous to not do this. And so I pray you'd help us with these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so a general thought about this. As Paul goes through and tells Titus, you know, be careful of the people you put into oversight positions as you're going through Crete and establishing these churches, the general tenor, for sure in verse 7, a man be blameless, steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, and pay attention to these knots, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, we talk about drunkenness, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. The general idea of all of that is these are all places where people's judgment gets perverted. If they're self-willed, if they don't control their emotions, if they're greedy, if they're drunkards, all of these are all areas where judgment gets perverted. And one of the main concerns of someone in an oversight position is that they have good judgment. And so as Paul makes this list of not this way, not that way, avoid men that have their, essentially avoid men that are going to have their judgment perverted for one reason or another. And so this is, this is kind of the common theme that Paul's going through, because judgment and discernment is very important in this oversight position. And so you get kind of a glimpse into, and you already knew this, but you get a glimpse into how people's decision making can be messed up in these ways. And we've talked about all of them: the self-will, the anger, the drunkenness, the striker, you know, just fighting, just contentious and wanting to fight all the time. And then given to filthy lucre, that's what we're at, the greedy part. So in general, this is the idea, just understand it, the idea that judgment is such a needed thing in the position that Titus is going to be establishing these congregations in, and putting, you know, enlisting men to have oversight. It's such a needed thing that anything that would pervert that judgment, you just need to avoid that. Avoid any of this stuff that's going to pervert that judgment. And that's one way of saying this. I think when you and I read this, it's pretty understandable as we read it. The second thing that I'll say in general about this, greed and desire for, you know, being close to money and things like that. Let me ask y'all, you guys can help me participate with this. So in the old system, the old covenant, what was the requirement to be a priest? You had to be born in the family. You had to be born a Levite. Any other requirements? A man born in a Levite. So the whole thing was biology. It was all biology. It was, you had to be a man born a Levite. And that system proved to be a failure of a system. It just, that doesn't work. When people are put into these places just because of the way they're born. And so this becomes the problem, and it is in full bloom when Jesus Christ shows up, where you've got all of these people in these leadership positions that just have no business in these positions. They've got all kinds of things perverting their judgment. The money, maybe the emotions, the drunkenness, all of these things are perverting their judgment, but they're in the position because they were born in the right family. And so this is one of the transitions which we're talking about in Sunday school, that really in the new covenant, that mentality has to go away, because the new covenant is going to be based on, and it's going to establish people in the right things. And so the right kind of people are going to be in this new covenant, and the right kind of people are going to be in these oversight positions. And so I'll give you an example. In the Old Testament, Samuel's a great prophet and a priest. He's great. He does good. He is good for the nation. But then he has some boys, and they're just born into the family. They don't really have any spiritual thing about them. They're just born into the family, and by virtue of being born to Samuel, they have oversight of the priesthood. And in 1 Samuel chapter 8, they're taking bribes, they're doing all kinds of bad stuff. And what they've really done to the people is they've made the tabernacle just a place where nobody wants to go anymore. And it's because the leadership is... It's correct as far as the old covenant goes, because they're born into the right family. But as far as leadership goes for them, they're not the right kind of people to be doing what they're doing. And so one of the things that Jesus Christ does in establishing the new covenant, he does away with this old priesthood that's basically based on biology, and says, look, this is how you enter into this new covenant. And this is the type of people we're looking for. We're looking for people who aren't drunkards. We're looking for people who can control their anger. We're looking for people who can control their desire for money. This is the kind of people we're looking for. And so You go back to the First Samuel, and you can read all about Samuel's kids, how they're taking bribes and they're perverting judgment based on who's paying them. It's just a mess. And so the new covenant calls for new leadership and a new priesthood that's not based on biology. And I've said it, I don't know how many times, but this is why Jesus Christ says what he does to Nicodemus. He's like, look, you got to be born again. Your first birth obviously doesn't qualify you to be anything with God. Your first birth is, it's just, you know, it determines maybe your ethnicity, determines your gender, but it doesn't qualify you in any way to be anything with God. Another example, in Jesus' time, you got the Pharisees. They loved money and power. And they were a product of a carnal system, just a system that was based on biology, it was based on the flesh. And so this is what Hebrews does such a great job of explaining, how the old is just, it's just carnal, it's carnal things, it's carnal sacrifices, it's all this stuff that's never going to take away sin. It's just, it's the system that God had in place that would bring about the seed, and it did, it brings about Jesus Christ, but there's other things going on. There's faith going on. There's grace going on, all that other stuff. But this system is a national system. It's ultimately just a carnal system. And so in the new covenant, which we're in here with Paul writing to Titus, he's not asking where people are born or who they're born to, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a Cretan or, from Crete, not Cretan, but from Crete, or from China or from America or from wherever. It doesn't matter where you're born. What matters are these spiritual qualities. If you can control your emotions, if you can control your anger, if you can keep a lid on your own self-will, those are things that are important to God. And so that's why Paul's saying what he says here. This is a different system that we're in. It's an old covenant, new covenant stuff. And then last is this idea. I'll show you a cross reference here. Look in 1 Peter, give you this cross reference. This is how an elder would apply faith in Jesus Christ. And people apply their faith differently depending on what they are doing, depending on where they are in life, depending on relationships. Like we said this morning, the faith of a child looks different than the faith of a mother, looks different than the faith of a father, looks different than the faith of, employer, employee, all those things. They're applications of faith. In this case, we're talking about elders and someone who has oversight of a church. And so Peter says it this way, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre," that's our verse, "but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So this is the application of somebody's faith in this position. This is the way to do this. This is how to be an elder if you're in that position. And the Lord will reward that type of faith if that's what you're supposed to be doing. And so Peter talks about that. Paul talks about it a little bit in Corinthians when it came to the money situation with Paul. He would say things like to the Corinthians, he said, "Look, it's in my power to not work if I don't want to work. It's in my power to do that." But typically it sounded like Paul had a job and worked and tried to sort out churches and establish churches and things like that. But there's one time in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 where he's talking about his apostleship, and he says, "Look, I could stop working and that would be all right. I'm I'm free to do that, but because of the situations that some of these churches are in, I'm not going to. And so he wanted to, sometimes he wanted to just prove that this isn't about money for him. Whereas the previous job, there was a lot of that in what he was doing. He profited, he said, quite a bit from the Jews' religion. But anyway, back to this. This is how an elder applies faith in Jesus Christ. This is what it looks like. And then Peter says, look, you get a reward for this. This is rewarded behavior. If this is what your faith needs to look like, if you're in this position, this is what your faith needs to look like. And if it looks like this, if you're not any of these things, if you are overseeing the flock, if you are feeding the flock of God the way God intends you to do it, then there's reward for that. So generally speaking, you understand, I think, the idea of somebody who's not money hungry, not greedy. And it's, I think of Judas, it's just kind of interesting, you know. He kind of falls through the radar all the way up to the end, and then it's realized, at least by the disciples, that this is what he was in it for. And maybe that changed along the way. I don't know if he started out that way or it changed along the way. I don't know. But eventually it was about the money for him. So Paul says you can't put that kind of person in an oversight position. Why? Because generally it perverts their judgment. They'll just go to the highest bidder, and that anything that perverts judgment, because judgment is so needed, that's a no-no. Stay away from that stuff. So the new covenant calls for this new leadership and new priesthood, and this is how an elder's faith would be applied. So simple stuff, simple lesson, simple thoughts on that, not greedy. And with that done, with that little lesson, we are going to have...